Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 9 of the Ash Bros podcast. We're so excited to bring you this episode here. Another action-packed episode looking at just predicting records. This one's going to be about the NFC South, so we're excited for that one. I'm Todd, here with Peter. Peter, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing well, man. I'm really excited to talk to you about kind of get into more of the NFC side of things. Obviously, we did the North last week, and that was super exciting, but now we're on to the division that I think is even, I don't think more intriguing, but honestly kind of interesting with how they get the top two, three, even maybe top spot could go in the NFC South. So I'm really excited with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty interesting. You know, this division has been one of the, you know, honestly one of the worst divisions in the NFL over the last few years or so. But, you know, there are some teams, I think, with some pretty, you know, untapped potential in this division. So, but I guess, you know, if we had to, you know, starting off with our predictions here, I'm going to start for our fourth place teams, as we always do. I have the New Orleans Saints finishing last in this NFC South division this year with a 3-14 record. I think the Saints are really going to struggle this year. I'm not going to lie. I mean, looking at this roster, don't get me wrong, there's some talented players on both sides. You know, Alvin Kamara is still a good player, though he's struggled with injuries over the last few years. Chris Olave is a pretty talented receiver, but he's really had some, you know, issues with concussions recently, and obviously that's a really big deal with his health, and that's the most important thing, obviously, at the end of the day. The offensive line has struggled with injuries as well, and, you know, defensively as well. I mean, he lost Dennis Allen, who's one of the best defensive coaches in the league. Now he's with the Bears, so I think the Saints' defense is going to drop off a little bit as well. And then the worst part is the quarterback. We don't really know who's going to start. Is it going to be Spencer Rattler? Is it going to be Tyler Shugg, who they drafted, you know, in this year's draft? We don't know. I just think the Saints are really going to struggle this year to win games. And I feel bad for Kellen Moore, the new head coach. I don't know. I think he's going to try to do whatever he can to, you know, help them win. But just doesn't have a lot to work with. And I think, you know, that will reflect in the Saints' win-loss record this year.
Yeah, it's tough with the Saints. I'm also with you. I have them finishing with a 4-13 record next year. To be honest, if the team finishes anywhere between 3 and 6 wins, I wouldn't be surprised. If they go anywhere over that, like 7-9, I'd be more shocked then. So it's not really about the record. I just think they're not going to be that good. And for me, again, it starts with there's a lot of kind of, not severe issues, but like there are issues there. Quarterback, obviously, is the biggest one. Like you said, who's going to start? I think Tyler Shugg, like, I don't know how you start Spencer Rattler after seeing him play last year. There were just too many examples of him not playing well, not showing up, making mistakes. And I know he's trying. It's not for a lack of not trying, but it doesn't seem like he's figured it out that well. So I think you got to go with Shugg and see what he has. Again, I guess we'll see what only time will tell with their camp and stuff. But they also kind of just have some issues, I guess, in other places. Honestly, trench play for this team isn't horrible. Their offensive line isn't like the greatest, but they do have guys there, right? Eric McCoy is arguably the best player on their line. They got Kelvin Banks this year in the draft who, like, people were sleeping on him. I thought he was arguably the best tackle. I know Mimbu and a few other guys were getting considered. Again, even Will Campbell and stuff like that, we were looking at them. But I really did like Kelvin Banks out of Texas. I thought he was really good. It wasn't his fault that Ohio State killed them. First of all, Jack Sawyer. Anyways, long story short, I think he's a good player. Salees Fuaga, last year, I wanted the Packers to get him. They ended up getting him mid-first, and I thought he was a stud. So there's stuff to work with there. And even defensive line, they have a bunch of stuff there. I just think, like, it's all the other issues that they kind of had to face, even with the same defensive line that they basically had last year. They gave up the second most rushing yards last season and the sixth most passing yards. And now, right, you lose Paulson to Debo. Cooley McKinstry, you want him to replace him, but, like, how good is he going to do right away? You got to kind of work on that. The Saints, somehow, every single year, they find a way to be okay defensively, if not good defensively. So maybe they have that for going for them. But offensively, with quarterback just not being too great and offensive line kind of having some question marks in the middle, especially now, obviously, Eric McCoy is good, but the two guards, Trevor Penning is supposed to be left guard this year. Cesar Ruiz is never healthy. If you have issues there, how good can they be? And I don't know. I'm just not. I'm much more of a fan of the other teams in that division than I am the Saints.
Yeah, I gotta agree with you there too. Even the interesting stat I saw last year, the Saints converted just 35.2 of the third downs on offense, which ranked 28th in the NFL. And it's safe to say that Drew Brees and Sean Payton aren't walking through that door anytime soon. So we'll see what happens with the Saints this year. But I think they're gonna struggle. I think we're on the same page there with that one. I guess moving on to my third place team here, I have the Atlanta Falcons finishing with a 6-11 record. This might be a little surprising to some people because, you know, the Falcons are one of those teams coming to this NFL season where people are kind of looking at them and saying, man, they can win, you know, 9 or 10 games, maybe make the playoffs, win the division. But I don't know. I like their offense. I like Bijan Robinson. I think he's a top four running back in the league. Drake London, I think, is an amazing wide receiver. I had him in fantasy last year. He was, you know, huge for me. He was a really good player, really good player there. The offensive line's pretty good, all in all. Although they did lose Drew Dowman, their center, to the Bears, which I think is, you know, a big loss there. Kyle Pitts can't seem to just find that potential, even though he has the most potential in the world. He hasn't finally seen that like consistency. And then I don't know. I look at their defense. They have some talented players. I think AJ Terrell's a good corner, and you know whatnot. But they can't seem to figure out their pass rush issue either. I mean, the last player they've had to have a double digit sack season, I think it was Vic Beasley in 2016. So it's been almost a decade. So that's a long time ago. And then you look at Raheem Morris too. I think he's a good defensive coordinator. I don't know if he's the greatest head coach per se. So looking at all that combined, and then Michael Penix, he has, you know, potential too. I'm just not sure though if I would take him, you know, over like Baker Mayfield and some of those other quarterbacks in the division, even Bryce Young, what he showed last year. So because of that, I have the Falcons at 6-11. I think they'll miss the playoffs for the 8th straight year.
It's interesting, man. It's really interesting. I'm a lot more bigger on the Falcons, but I guess we'll get to that later. My third place team is the Carolina Panthers. I have them just below the Falcons, who I'll get to later, with an 8-9 record. Again, it's the team that I wouldn't be shocked if they did finish second, though, with a 9-8 record, or, you know, even top of the division, because I'm so big on Bryce Young. It sounds a little crazy, but I love Bryce Young, man. I think people can say, oh, it's revision history, you're just picking him now, you liked him. No, like, you can ask anybody. I've been keeping up with Bryce Young since he was at Modern Day in Cali when he was hooping back then. Like, I'm a big fan of Bryce Young. I thought he was always going to be really good, even at the stature that he's at. And obviously, you know, it's weird the season they had last year, right? They started off 1-6. Andy Dalton had that, you know, kind of a really bad accident. Thank God it wasn't tragic or anything like that, because his family was involved. He was involved. But that's almost what it took. It took him getting injured for them to, okay, Bryce, we're going to throw you in because we have no choice. And all of a sudden, Bryce looks like a brand new quarterback, right? They had back-to-back wins versus the Saints and Giants. Well, after losing to the Broncos, they had back-to-back wins against the Saints and the Giants. He went toe-to-toe with the Chiefs, Eagles, and the Bucks. Like, he looked, and that Eagles game, you could argue easily could have won. They had a lot of drop passes. Like, he looked phenomenal, despite being under duress basically the entire time. Looked like he was back at Alabama. So I'm a big fan of him. I think he's going to do really good things this year under year two with Dave Canales. Major issue for them, obviously, was their run defense last year. They gave up 3,000 rushing yards, the most in the NFL. And then I remember you told me this. It's crazy that you can tell me this one. They gave up 534 points. It's the most in NFL history. That is like, that's just bad. It can't happen. Obviously, they had a lot of injuries. Guys were hurt a lot, especially key guys like Derrick Brown, J.C. Horn. But that's a lot of points, man. So their defense, yes, they took some steps in the draft and offseason to add some guys. I just don't know if it's going to be enough to kind of propel them against some other teams. Only time will tell, I guess, with them, because they do have talent. I just don't know if it's going to be enough to kind of propel them right away. Ted McMillan's going to be fun to watch with Bryce Young. I think they're both going to be a pretty good pairing. But I don't know if I'm as big on them as I am the Falcons, which, again, I'll get to in a bit, because I like them a lot.
Yeah, no, you make a good point there with the, you know, the Panthers and everything. I think just like the Falcons as well. I mean, you know, those pass rushers they have, you know, Jalon Walker and James Pierce, obviously, they, you know, drafted both those guys in the draft. And we'll see, man. I feel like they have to have a decent season, obviously. I mean, that when they traded for Pierce, they traded another first round pick next year to the Rams, which, you know, could come back to be costly next year. We'll see. But yeah, I don't know. I think both teams, I could see them finishing second or third, to be honest, kind of flip flopping there. But I like Carolina a little better. I do like the Panthers actually finishing second in the division with a 7-10 record. I like Bryce Young a lot. I think last year, you know, obviously he struggled throughout his rookie year, and then those first 7 games last year were pretty rough. And then when he, like you said, he took that break, you know, that he, you know, needed, and he came back and looked pretty good. So I think this year, coming to his third year in the NFL, Dave Canales, you know, having him there as the coach again, that continue, you know, having that, I'm going to butcher this word, having that continuity.
You got to keep this. You got to keep it. It's too good. You can't be cutting that off. You got to keep it. You got to keep it, man.
Bryce Young going to his third year with Dave Canales, and then, you know, having Ted McMillan there the first round. You know, I think that was a really good pick there. Xavier Leggett, who just amazing personality off the field, but and on the field, I think he's actually like a pretty solid receiver as well. But I think the biggest reason why I like Carolina too, for two reasons. I think the running game is going to be really good this year again. I think Chuba Hubbard and Rico Dowdle, those two together, and the offensive line is really good in terms of run blocking. So I think that's going to take the load off of Bryce Young. You know, and then I think you look at their defense as well. I think last year, like, again, like you said, they really struggled. You know, 3,000 rushing yards given up and all those points. But, you know, you add Derek Brown, who's one of the best run-stopping defensive tackles in the league. He missed basically the whole season last year. So if he's going to be playing, I think that's going to help a lot. You know, and you look at Bobby Brown there, another defensive tackle there. I don't know. I think I look at this team, I think they'll improve. Last year they were 5-12. I think this year, you know, a couple more wins, 7-10. And I really like the future of this Carolina Panthers team. I think for the first time since Cam Newton was there, Panthers fans actually have something to look forward to. And I think that's good because that fan base definitely deserves it.
They definitely do, man. My thing about the Panthers is just, I don't know, like again, like, even if Bryce Young, like you said, take a break. He didn't take it, like, again, he got benched. Like, they were, like, they more or less told him, it didn't even seem like a break. They were like, we're not winning games with you, and we don't like the way this is going. And to be honest, with how bad they were playing, it would have been smarter to just keep Bryce playing and kept him in the lineup. But they benched him because they wanted to win games. So, Canales benches him, and he only gets in an accident, and he's like, I have to play this guy. And then he ends up becoming great. So they kind of just caught lightning in the plant, like flash in the pan there, if you want to call it, or whatever you want to, whatever the term is, or saying. That's what happened, because otherwise, like, they're probably in who knows where they're at right now, right? They don't play Bryce again. Maybe it all goes to crap. They have to get a quarterback. Like, we don't know, right? So they got lucky. Let's see if they can take advantage of it now with keeping Bryce's momentum well and hopefully build around him, because he showed flashes. But even with those flashes, I don't know, man. I still got him just below the Atlanta Falcons. That's my second place team. I had them in the 9-8 record. They could easily finish, in my opinion, they can easily win this division. And the reason why I'm saying that, maybe I shouldn't say easily, but I think they can be on top of the division, is because I think, again, like last year, given everything that happened with Kirk Cousins and how bad the defense was and how they couldn't get any pressure, they were still right in the mix and basically controlled the division for the most part. Yes, the Bucs were kind of struggling and going through their own thing, and they did have some injuries, but they're more or less, like, they improved. Again, we'll get to them in a bit. They did improve, but a lot of it was just them shooting themselves in the foot. The Falcons did the exact same thing. But this time, I think with Michael Penix there, who I'm big on, I think they get it done. All right, last year, he only threw three touchdowns and three picks in his limited games. But two of the picks weren't his fault. They were flat-out drops, and that led to interceptions. Only one was really a pick that was his fault in the Commanders game. But he has all the tools to be a big-time player. His All-22 is ridiculous. You ever seen it on Twitter or anybody post it? Some of those throws, man, you can't teach those things. Those cover two shots, some of the seam routes he's thrown. That one bullet pass to Kyle Pitts, my goodness. It was like just an absolute dot against the Commanders. Great throw. He can basically do it all, right? And again, the one complaint about him might be he's not seeing the field as well sometimes, maybe not getting the ball out as quick. But I think that comes with just kind of learning and playing more. And because he barely played and got thrown into the fire, the dumpster fire that was last season, I think with a full training camp, and a full offseason now, he'll look much, much sharper. That 9-5 connection with Drake London, your boy, is going to be incredible, I think. I think it's going to be one for the charts. Main issue, again, obviously, for them is defensively. Struggled in passing and run game. Really struggled as a quarterback, only 31 sacks last year as a team. The fewest in the NFL. You pointed out the Vic Beasley stat. But adding, again, James Pierce, we're trading up for James Pierce, even though it's risky with that first-round pick, and getting Jalen Walker earlier can help, and it kind of has to help if this team wants to do anything. But I like them a lot, man. Again, Jesse Bates is still there. They got some things going. Raheem Morris is going to be an aggressive defensive coach. He's going to try to get the best out of his people. It's just going to be interesting. I guess, obviously, a lot of it's going to rely on Penix and what they can do defensively. But I like them a lot, man. I do like them finishing second just because I think there's a lot of potential there.
Yeah, no, you do bring up a good point, too, even with the defense, actually. A couple of things I failed to mention earlier, actually. They also added Leonard Floyd in free agency. And he's been a pretty solid pass rusher over the last few years. He's actually one of the few, I think he's like one of the few, maybe 7 or 8 edge rushers in the NFL over the last 5 years to record at least 8 sacks in each of the last 5 seasons. So he's been really consistent. He is 32, so you kind of wonder when he might start to drop off. But I think with his athleticism and stuff like that, I feel like he can still have a couple good years in him. So that's good. And Jeff Albridge, being the new defensive coordinator as well, and he was really good with the Jets, you know, last few years, has a defensive coach with Robert Saleh. So I think, you know, mixing him there with Raheem Morris, I think that's going to be a good move there for the Falcons. But all that is to say, my opinion, for the fifth straight year, your NFC South champions will be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hey, hey, Tampa Bay. Okay, that's gonna cut out. That's it.
No, don't cut it out. Just keep it. I don't understand if that's gonna cut out. Keep it. If you want to do cringy stuff, keep it. Keep it, man. Stand on it. Let's go. Let's go.
Okay. I gotta stand on it. Okay. But yeah, I think. Oh man. Yeah. Look at the Buccaneers right now, man. Baker Mayfield, you know, the last 2 years has gone from, you know, looking like, you know, someone who's unfortunately going to be a bust to being one of the best quarterbacks in the league over the last 2 years. What he's done for the Buccaneers in that uniform. I think he has the second or most. It's either the most or the second most touchdown passes in the NFL over the last 2 years. So he's been slinging it all over the field. Bucky Irving's awesome. The receivers, Mike Evans, you know, Chris Godwin, Emeka Ibuka. Jalen McMillan, who was really good last year for them, is like their third or fourth guy. So they have so many weapons there. The offensive line's pretty good. Only question is Tristan Wirfs. Is he going to be fine, you know, to start the season? He might miss a couple of games because he underwent surgery recently. But the offensive line is still pretty good. And then you look at the defense, too. I think, you know, they got Hassan Reddick. Obviously, he had that whole saga with the Jets last year. But, you know, when he's on the field, you know, you've seen what he's done with the Cardinals, Panthers, and the Eagles this whole decade. He's been pretty consistent there. Lavonte David re-signed there. Obviously, he's, you know, getting up there in age, but he's still a good, really good player there. The secondary is really the biggest question with this defense. Antoine Winfield is a great safety, one of the best top five safeties in the league. But, you know, can he stay healthy after he struggled with injuries last year? And then those corners as well, you know, they got to kind of improve there in terms of stopping the pass. But, you know, Todd Bowles is going to be aggressive. He's going to send a lot of blitzes, be aggressive there. And I just think that combined with their offense, I think they'll win the division again. And this might be a hot take, but I do think they could make a dark horse run, honestly, in the NFC this year. And, maybe make a deep run to the NFC Championship game, potentially.
I'm with you. I also have the Bucks finishing first in the division. Once again, winning 10 games. Once again, taking the division. For starters, it's not really like a huge... It's a bonus. It's more of a luxury pick. Like, right, them getting Emeka Ibuka, it wasn't really a need, but it was a luxury. And that, in my opinion, makes them the deepest wide receiver room in the NFL. I mean, like, you got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Ibuka... Like, J-Mac, Jalen McMillan is crazy. Tez Johnson, or I think Tez looks incredible from Oregon. The whole story with him, Bo Nix, being like, I guess like kind of, like, not like a foster brother, but like kind of like his brother that he took in. Him being incredible, right? You got a bunch of players who like can play over there, and it's tough. Like, they get really nice. Bucky Irving, man, I can't say more enough about him. I love that guy. I think he's incredible. Man, he's elusive as it gets in the open field. Breaks tackles. For a guy who doesn't look like he would have, like, he doesn't have breakaway speed for a small guy, but, man, he can run. He's electric. So I love him. And then you pair him up with this Josh Grizzard guy, the new offensive coordinator they have. He comes to the Mike McDaniel tree, and apparently everyone's calling this guy a wizard. Tristan Wirfs can't stop talking about him. Baker Mayfield said he's doing some new stuff. He said, get ready, you guys. Get ready to get entertained. I'm like, okay, what does this guy have in store? Because you've had Canales. You've had some other guys there. Liam Cohen was interesting, was fun. So what does this guy have in store if you're calling this guy a wizard, right? I'm really excited to see what he does offensively. Biggest problem with this team and why I don't think they make a run, it's never know what could happen, why I don't think they'll make a run, though, is because that defense. Again, Todd Bowles being the head coach is good. I think defensive-minded, he's really good at what he does, send blitzes, unorthodox-style defenses and zone blitzes, stuff like that. But I just don't know if it's enough to get it done on paper. Like, again... Depends on the talent, like, that he has. I guess, like, what he can do with the talent that he has. But, like, other than Vita Vea and some of the other guys they have, Yaya Diaby looks like he's decent. Antoine Winfield, you gotta hope he stays healthy. Those corners, I'm not big on at all. I've talked to you about this before in the past. Jamel Dean, I think he's good. I think he's a high-end two. Maybe a low-end one, but, like, I don't know if that's enough to get it done if he's really basically a high-end two. Ben Morrison, you sign him. He could be a steal. But you gotta kind of hope he stays healthy and hope he pans out. It's kind of a big if with him, and it's why he fell in the drafts because of his health history. So that's a big one. And after that, Zion McCollum, some of the other guys they have, they're not very good. Again, I'm not trying to be mean. It was consistently last year. The reason why they were in so much trouble is because defensively they just weren't good. They allowed the third most passing yards last season, and like every single time I turned on a Bucks game, they were in a shootout or some kind of battle with somebody because they just couldn't get a stop. Every time they needed a timely stop, they couldn't get one, and that's their biggest issue. So again, I can remember the top of my head that Cowboys and Buccaneers game. I'd love to see the final stats, but that's one of the few games where Cooper Rush, who came in for Dak, didn't look that like he actually didn't look bad. And Cooper Rush, I know he's a decent backup, but against most teams, he didn't look good. But against them, he looked good. And I said, okay, this defense has problems. Like, this is, that can't be happening. So, defensively, again, they tried to address some things. I don't know if it's enough. They're going to really need Hassan Reddick, like you said before, to really step in with his full offseason and not go rogue again, go to Japan and, oh, where is this guy? We haven't heard from this guy in a bit, and we don't know, his family can't hear from his friends, or we don't know what the hell's going on. And all of a sudden, some TikTok comes up with this guy in a full-out gi, or one of those, like, robes with a samurai sword. That can't happen. It just can't happen again. Like, he needs to be fully locked in and obviously invested in the team because they don't have enough to kind of combat that. So, again, I like the team a lot. I think they're going to be fun to watch. I think in fantasy, if you are a fantasy football person, draft whoever you can on the Buccaneers team, including McMillan. I think they're all going to eat some way and somehow. Baker Mayfield, we're not talking about him enough as an MVP candidate. I think he can easily become one because there's so much to work with here with that good offensive line and best receiver league. Or receiving core in the league, that, in my opinion. But defensively, I just think you got to be careful. It's going to be an opportunistic defense, which is what Todd Bowles' defense usually is. But they don't have a lot of opportunistic players. That's just my opinion. It might sound a little harsh. And that's why I don't think their ceiling's kind of capped. I don't know. Maybe they make a run. Maybe they shut me up. But I'm not as big on them going forward other than winning the division and maybe winning a playoff game.
Yeah, no, you make a good point on both cases there, just their offense and their defense. An interesting thing, too, with the Buccaneers, it's interesting. Like, I feel like sometimes they play below their competition, but it seems like every time they play a really good team, like the best of the best, they always show up. Like, I remember they were, like, the last team last season to, like, beat the Eagles. Like, literally actually, like, beat them, like, convincingly. I know the Commanders beat them, too, but obviously, you know, there was some, you know, Jalen Hurts got hurt and whatnot. So they were, like, the actual, like, the last team to beat them like that. They beat the Lions, too, in Detroit last year and played the Lions really tough in the playoffs the year before that. So, yeah, I don't know. They seem to get up for those big games and kind of that big game DNA they have. And, you know, it's interesting. You know, that this is a franchise that, you know, before 2020, you look at them, you're like, man, I don't know. You know, it wasn't looking too pretty there. And then Tom Brady shows up there and, you know, obviously they won a Super Bowl and they've just been making the playoffs, winning the division every year. And it seems like now they built a new culture there in Tampa Bay and Baker Mayfield's kind of taken over now from Brady as the quarterback. And I don't know. I think if you're a Buccaneers fan, this is probably the most, you know, the best run they've had since the late 90s, early 2000s, right? When they won that first Super Bowl in 2002. So I think they're in a good stretch right now. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they can actually capitalize on that. And maybe, who knows, bring another championship to Tampa Bay. Seems like, you know, we've seen that a lot in Florida these days in sports with, you know, the Florida Panthers, Tampa Bay Lightning, all this stuff. So we'll see if the Buccaneers can once again join that. Maybe as soon as this season.
Yeah, there's a lot to like, man. I'm with you there. I think, again, like, they're going to be fun. They're guaranteed to be fun. Like you said, they're a big game team. It's just, again, it's just questions, I guess, all the time. With every NFL team has questions, even the ones that are really great. So, again, it's an intriguing division, man. This division, there's a lot to, like, kind of look at and you can kind of see, like, oh, maybe the stealth can be like this guy. Because I think a lot of times we look at this division, and especially last year, we're like, oh, who gives a crap? Like, this is a dumpster fire. But it's kind of a fun dumpster fire, if that makes sense. And last year was a fun dumpster fire, man. It was like, you didn't know who was going to win every week. Guys are shooting themselves in the foot. That Falcons-Buccaneers game on Thursday night was fun to watch. Like, that was a really good, entertaining game. And Thursday night is usually not that, over recently, the last couple of years. They haven't been that great. So this division is guaranteed to give us some bangers. They might be some sloppy ones, but they will be bangers. So I would say stay tuned, man. If you get one of these games on the docket, like, check it out because it's going to be fun.
No, that's for sure. That's for sure. You know, definitely it's come a long way from that 2014 season where the Panthers won the division with a 7-8-1 record. So it's definitely gotten better from those days. So, you know, I think this year is going to be another solid year for the division for sure. That being said, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Ash Bros Podcast. And tune in for our next episode. Should be a very fun one there. So can't wait to see you guys in that one. Peace.
Peace.